Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the first episode, a conversation with Dean Susan Fournier, where she answers the question at the heart of the show. Support for The Common comes from Davis Malm. Their tax attorneys take the time to understand your unique goals and find the most cost-effective ways to accomplish them, distilling complex tax laws down to clear choices so you can make the best decisions. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com.
Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it. Because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. WBUR's Morning Edition host and reporter is back, Rupa Shenoy. Thank you for blessing us with your time once again.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure. And I am so excited to talk with you because you recently finished a story about Boston Mayor Michelle Wu's proposed development plan for Mattapan, where 43% of the residents are Black. And this is a plan that would help to make good on her campaign promise to reimagine city development in a way that gives more say to residents and generates wealth in communities of color. Did I get all that right?
Yeah, and avoids displacement.
Right. So, Rupa, take us on a journey. For folks who may not be familiar, tell us, what is Mattapan like and why does Wu want to start there?
Okay. More so than lots of other neighborhoods, this is a single family neighborhood. Like, there is just like street after street of brick houses. And then there's one major commercial area, which is Mattapan Square, which is mostly like one story stores. And there's like, there's a grocery store, there's a Chase Bank, there's a lot of independent fast food places, lots of Haitian and Caribbean food, really good. On a weekday afternoon, there are tons of people there. It's a bustling area.
And also geographically, right? It's far from a lot of places in the city. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like directly south. Just keep going. It used to be the bottom of Dorchester, but now it's its own thing. And Mattapan, actually, it was a gathering spot when Boston was rural, I guess. And Mattapan is an indigenous word for gathering place. Most folks, all they know about Mattapan is that there are a lot of shootings there. And that's what's most often in the news. That's kind of the stigma that weighs Mattapan down. That's why I was pretty interested in this story, is because I want us to have a diversity of coverage about the neighborhood.
And so what's the draw for Mayor Michelle Wu? Why does she want to start making good on this promise there in Mattapan?
Well, this process has been in the works for 4 years. So it was started by the previous administration.
Okay.
But it's very important to the new planning director, Arthur Jemison, who was Wu's pick. And together, they have talked a lot and have made a very upfront goal of reducing the city's racial wealth gap. And as you know, home ownership is a big part of reducing the racial wealth gap because...
Huge. Yep.
Yeah. Because when more people own homes, they have more money that they can pass down to their kids, and that's called generational wealth, and it's actually super critical to growing wealth. But basically, the power of this plan is that it's focused in a place where there's lots of Black homeownership.
Okay. Now, let's get down to the meat and potatoes. What is in this proposed plan?
So it would, I mean, Mattapan has a lot of potholes. It has a lot of things that it can improve. So on the surface, that's what it would do. It would spiff off the area. It would put more greenery in there. It would create more density on lots, especially in commercial areas. It would make buildings taller. So there would be more density, which is what they're going for throughout the city right now. It would thread commercial corridors throughout the neighborhood so that everyone is a 10-minute walk from a convenience store or a transit stop.
Okay.
And it would also, Mattapan, what people, a lot of people don't know about Mattapan, it has incredible parks. It has the Neponset River. It's really beautiful. But the parks are really disjointed. There's no clear way that they come together. So the plan, it suggests new roads and bridges and pedestrian paths to kind of connect these spaces so the community can make more use of it.
I understand there are plans to help homeowners who may be interested in renting space in their home or on their property. That's a pretty big deal for Boston, right?
Yeah. And don't feel bad if you stumble a bit on this. Like planning and development in Boston is confusing. Like I worked on this story for like several months because it's just, it takes a lot to make sure that you're saying the right thing. Jemison has this idea. People can turn like basements or other structures on their lots into living spaces without getting special zoning approval. And that's a big deal because going through the process of getting special zoning approval is really cumbersome, takes a long time. It's super confusing. You usually might need a lawyer, architect, something like that. So this is a big deal for easing the zoning process, easing the approval process. And Jemison says it essentially gives homeowners a way to create spaces on their lots that they can rent out to make money, or they can put their family members there.
Having it focused in a neighborhood where there's strong existing Black homeownership, increasing the value of that homeownership is definitely something that helps us advance equity in the city.
That, again, gets back to that theme of keeping people in their homes, helping them grow wealth, and helping grow generational wealth. This is already playing out for lots of families. I talked to a resident. Her name is Amber Mercer. She grew up in Mattapan, went away for college, recently came back. She and her husband are professionals, and they have two kids, but they could not afford the house that her parents bought in Mattapan in 1968. And it's this beautiful home on this leafy street. It could fit in like an affluent suburb, but it's in Mattapan. And basically, Amber Mercer's mother sold it to her for like way below fair market value, just so, you know, she could pass on the wealth.
And she said, you know, that she didn't want to have to die in order for us to be able to experience generational wealth.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Rupa.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken?, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. These days, it's hard to ignore the debate over the role business should play in society.
There's crescendo around profit, period. Is profit bad? Is capitalism evil? These themes are out there.
Is this criticism of business warranted? And if so, how do we fix it? Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the first episode of the Is Business Broken podcast.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
And we're back. Okay, Rupa, this proposed plan, I'm hearing density, commercial corridors, walkability, green space. But I would imagine there are concerns from community members about gentrification and maybe some past broken promises between communities and the Boston Planning and Development Agency or, you know, the city in general, right? What are you hearing from community members about this plan?
They want to be hopeful, and they are hopeful, but they're also kind of leery. This is Kenya Beeman. She's a lifelong Mattapan resident who does outreach for the Boston Planning and Development Agency.
We're kind of one of the last neighborhoods that haven't really seen a whole lot of development. We're starting to see it now, which is a bit overwhelming for residents.
So what she's describing is Mattapan has felt overlooked for many, many years as the rest of the city developed. If you remember when Mayor Wu was running for office, she was very critical of the Boston Planning and Development Agency and just the way that the city approves projects. And this is a reflection of that. This weariness is a reflection of that. There's not a lot of trust for the process because of what people have seen in the past.
What kind of assurances are residents getting from the city and the BPDA to make sure that this plan basically doesn't fall to the wayside over time?
So the Boston Planning and Development Board is supposed to take this plan up within the next few months. And if they approve it, essentially, it'll be something that when developers come to the city in the future and say, I want to put this in Mattapan, they'll look at the Mattapan plan that we're talking about and say, oh, but the plan says this. So can you do this? There are no strong and fast assurances, but this is more of a tool for residents to make sure that what they want in their neighborhood will happen, more so of a tool than they have had before, because just there hasn't been a super emphasis on planning at the city.
So basically, it's a document that could be used for accountability in the future.
Yeah.
To be like, you know, the city made this promise X amount of years ago. This is what we've been following, and this deviates from that, and now we have a problem.
Exactly.
Okay, so you kind of gave us a visual of Mattapan, the neighborhood, you know, what it looks like, but tell me about the folks who live there and what their daily concerns are.
Well, like I mentioned, Mattapan has one of the highest rates of shootings in the city. And that is a concern in two ways. They're concerned about the actual incidents. Tia Leach, one of the teenagers that I talked to, mentioned that it just seems like she leaves a place and 15 minutes later, there is a shooting there. So she feels like shootings are just like following her around. And it's kind of created this complex in her head. This is Tia Leach talking about what that's like to live with every day.
There's too many memorials on the street, literally every day, every single day. I walk by two every single day, and it's upsetting.
Another way that it affects the community is they are very aware that they are known for shootings in the rest of the city. And again, I talked to these teenagers Moses Sibley did a documentary about Mattapan recently. He's a ninth grader, 10th grader, Tia Leach. And they kind of describe how the focus is so much on the shootings that they feel like this, the actual culture and fabric of Mattapan gets overshadowed. And the documentary Sibley did was essentially about how close-knit this community is. Everyone knows everyone, and how they band together in times of crisis, and how proud they are of that.
Right. Yeah, so what has to happen now is proposed. So what has to happen for it to become official?
It's just the BPDA board. They're going to take it up in the next couple of months, and if they approve it, then that's it. It's there, and residents will be able to refer to it and, you know, like you said, hold people accountable to it in the future.
Got it. And, you know, just for the Mattapan residents who might be listening to this, who may not have been aware that this plan is happening, how can they get involved to comment on this plan before it's approved?
The public comment period has passed.
Oh, okay.
So now it's only going to the board. In the public comment period, there were some concerns about allowing people to build more on their lots. There were concerns that people would build stuff and their neighbors wouldn't have enough of a chance to say anything about it. There's also concerns about crowding. So that was what was most mentioned in the public comment period. What mm-hmm. got the most support in the public comment period was the green space. So that is a part of the plan that they're really excited about.
Got it. What other communities is the mayor looking at?
This is a process that is decided on a neighborhood-by-neighborhood basis. Mm-hmm. And it's not clear which neighborhoods will get this treatment. I mean, I think Mayor Wu's administration would say we're in the beginning of a long phase of them reforming how we do things. And so mm-hmm. this, if it's successful, if it seems to work, if it has a good feedback on it, it could be deployed in other areas.
Understood. Well, Rupa, as always, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your morning and spending it with us on The Common. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's WBUR Morning Edition host and reporter Rupa Shenoy. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. Look, if you had thoughts on this episode, hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at WBURTheCommon, or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. We would absolutely love to hear from you. With all that said, I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken?, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. Listen on for a preview of one of the episodes featuring Susan Fournier, Alan Questrom Professor, and Dean.
So let's start this conversation with the title of the show, Is Business Broken? It's a provocative title and a question. Where did this come from? Why that question now?
We're in a big cultural moment where capitalism, business, market systems are really being scrutinized and debated, and the role of business with it. So I think the question is just on the table. It's on people's minds. It's in the news media. It's in conversations. I think there are growing voices, loud voices, especially among young people who seem increasingly to believe that business and maybe capitalism with it are harmful and create rather than solve problems for society. And what we do seem to hear are those loud voices, and they are very black and white. There are protagonists and the antagonists and the pros and the cons, and there's really no middle discussion. It's sort of like people for and against, and it's loud.
Right. For and against DEI, for instance, right? A battle at play.
Right.
The way you describe it and the way you describe the polarization, it makes it feel like very much of the digital age, right? It feels very much of today. Some of those arguments have been around, though, right? Is this criticism of business and this question, is business broken? Is that a new question?
You are so right. It is not a new question. Schumpeter, he was a professor at Harvard, and he's also maybe one of the most influential political economists of the early 20th century. He called for the death of capitalism, the death of business, 100 years ago.
Okay. Wow.
And when he critiqued way back then, he said the very successes of capitalism would bring about its downfall, because it would create values hostile to capitalism, and that this would particularly take hold among intellectuals who were critiquing. So there's a lot of that same kind of dynamic happening today, and that's 100 years old. But yeah, we've seen this kind of cultural fervor playbook many times in the past, often precipitated by big crises.
Find the full episode by searching for Is Business Broken wherever you listen to podcasts, and learn more about the Mehrotra Institute for Business, Markets, and Society at ibms.bu.edu.